The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Kevin Byrne, retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel, airport safety expert and auditor. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
We had planned to talk about AI in aviation this morning, and then Friday happened and the whole world stopped for a while.
It did.
But before we talk about the digital age and aviation and AI, you want to talk about Paris?
Yes, because last year, we might have mentioned, we were talking about these new electric drones, I suppose you'd call them. They were the product of Velocopter, a German company, and they wanted to have their Velocity, as you call it, a two-seat little bug with 18 rotor blades, 9 batteries running it.
Autonomous?
Autonomous, allegedly. And they wanted it in place by now. And they got the non from the French authorities last week, unfortunately.
The idea was that two people get into this little capsule. 4 rotors, I presume.
Like no, 18.
18 rotors?
18 from 9 batteries. I just checked that this morning, yes.
Okay. So it would lift off and it's
and fly you.
Destination
1500 feet. Yeah.
Programmed in.
And the reason they did it is because there's a ring of steel around the River Seine this morning, and most of the Paris centre is very hard to get in. You need a QR code to get in by foot or by road, and that's a huge difficulty. This would solve that problem, but of course the European Aviation Safety Agency has not licensed it yet, so you might get a flight in it with the pilot if you're important and a VIP, but otherwise it's not going to happen any great.
So it will not be autonomous and automatic?
No.
All right, well let's move on to the digitisation of aviation services.
Yes.
Now, what happened on Friday? You must have been dismayed.
I was astounded, in fact, mainly because I have contacts in different parts of the world. It started in Australia. Whatever software problems they had began to move slowly from Australia across to the Middle East, through Africa, and then again to Europe. And eventually, when it hit America, it was a disaster for them. For example, they had 45 different airports were affected by this very quickly, and they realised aircraft could not take off, nor could they check people in, nor could they get baggage dropped, and all that kind of thing. So it was a huge disaster. Much worse, I suspect, in the America situation than in Europe, although it was not good news here either.
Okay, the problem was not a hacking or anything like, which might have been worrying.
Indeed.
It was a failure of a bug, basically, that they were trying to put in to upgrade the virus protection.
Yes.
And the bug itself did not do the job.
No, it hadn't been what you might call flight tested in this Azure system, I think. And that's used by various, you know, different systems all over the place. Once it has a bug in it, it shuts down and there you've got a reboot problem. And they had a thing called the blue screen death, you know, and that's not good news because rebooting is not easy. And when you haven't met it before and it doesn't tell you what the fault is, you've got a serious anomaly.
Mm. Okay. You and I have talked before about flying by wire where, you know, Airbus and now Boeing, they all fly by wire, which means that it's all done by computers. If you pull on the stick, you're not really pulling on hydraulics. You're actually telling a computer to do something.
Indeed, and there's usually 3 computers in case one or two fails. You've all got that redundancy, as we call it, like that. Very sensitive. And we've been using autopilots for a century now in aircraft. And they were crude initially. You know, they were just designed to keep you on track or at the right altitude or at the right speed. And it took some of the load off the pilots, as it were. But it was never intended to replace the human being in the cockpit. And I don't know if that's going to happen in the future, even though they're saying we should have only got one pilot and a computer and perhaps somebody on the ground looking at the
who can override
exactly and have five flights maybe
if
for example.
Kevin on the ground can override, then ne'er-do-well on the ground might be able to hack in and override and crash a plane.
And that's the problem, you see. And it's going to be very difficult to prove otherwise from that point of view. Once the radio link is breached, you're in trouble from that point of view. So the idea, of course, is the airlines want to save money and have half the crews that they have now because, you know, people are expensive to hire and train and so
forth. Pilots get more expensive every week, as we
seem to
discovered.
All right, yes.
Now, let's talk about where AI either has been deployed or can be deployed. Air traffic control, air traffic services.
Very good. On the way in here, I just remembered a trip I'd made with my students to a place called Swanwick. It's the National Air Traffic Services, I suppose you'd call it, think tank down in the south of England. And they told us 10 years ago that the air traffic system will change, that en route will now be free flight. In other words, the pilots, the computers decide which way they're going. They don't stick to these airways, which you see on maps, which are straight lines between ground-based navigation aids. They can fly where they want at whatever altitude they want. different depending on the weather and so forth.
But they obviously have to talk to each other.
They will talk to each other, but the computers will be able to do it and separate it, and they'll tell the controller in charge on the ground, oh, by the way, there's a problem with these two aircraft in 15 minutes from now, 17 minutes from now, there's going to be a congestion here. In other words, the AI will look ahead and say, I know what this is about, I've seen it before, and we should be able to do these things, now, they will alert.
The reason controller. AI can do this is because it's massive computing capacity.
Yes.
But it must have the facts. It must have the truth. I mean, if it doesn't have altitude, speed, location, all of that, then if, for example, there are military aircraft in the area where the transponders are switched off.
You're in trouble straight away like that. What AI, and I don't like the word AI, let's be basic about this. I would prefer if they use words like repetitive analysis. Other people use the words machine learning. The machine doesn't really learn. It just repeats itself, and it does it very well. And the software to do it is very good for handling huge volumes of data, coupled with the growth of ineffective and efficient computing power. You know, you can do widespread use of it because humans have a limit to what we can think and do. You know,
And what about the French air traffic controllers? I mean, will they be replaced by AI effectively?
Well, in a way, if I'm following what I saw in the UK, you know, 10 years ago, you'd need half the number of people because the sectorization of the airspace will be good. The ultimate of that, of course, is to move sideways. You, if you were in France, could control airspace in Germany. Already, if you're in Shannon, for example, you could probably control much of the airspace over the UK. But of course, no country wants to cede its airspace to another country, even though they're friendly and so forth.
Now, the second area for AI is in pilot training.
Yes.
How?
Well, of course, I watch these programs, as I mentioned before, these air accident investigations, and time and time again, about 80-odd% of the accidents are a result of, you know, human error of some kind. Sometimes it's the pilot, sometimes it's not. But if you've got somebody, for example, who takes 7 or 8 times to pass their instrument rating or has problems flying the aircraft in an emergency situation, too often they don't give that information to the next employer. In one or two cases I've seen, people have moved from airline to airline to airline and been less than satisfactory in that case. AI will keep tabs of that. It will show, where the weaknesses are, and there could be problems. Which
so you'll have a digital CV
exactly.
that will travel with you everywhere.
And you'll have to bring it, and it'll say, what did you do in your last simulator check? Let's go back 3 years. Now, you know, Tommy, you've got a problem with, go-arounds, for example, single-engined in bad weather conditions, but we can give you a little bit of extra training, and that'll solve the problem for you. Mm. It makes things more safe, it makes them more efficient, and indeed cheaper.
AI presumably could throw up scenarios in the simulator that might not otherwise
like
happen.
Multiple failures, which really don't happen. Statistically, they're not going to happen, but you could have a failure of this, a failure of that, failure of the other. You could have other emergencies popping in, and it tests you to your extreme level. It is not easy to fly a simulator in an emergency, but
this is all the stuff of, if you like, the professionals.
Yes.
But where we come in, the ordinary passenger, surveillance and security.
Yeah, I was a little bit upset by this to some extent because there are, for example, in Chiang Airport in Singapore, and it's a great airport, it consistently becomes the best airport in the world. It is a fabulous airport as things go. Police robots are introduced to project additional police presence, and what they do is they use advanced facial recognition algorithms to say, look, there's a, you know, Tommy O'Brien, he's on a watch list from the US of A like that.
Okay.
They have information that a person might not be able to handle at a desk, but all these things can put in, and in matter of less than seconds, they can identify, you know, people or problems or potential security risks. The problem with that is, and I have worked in Africa, people say these things don't work really well on non-Caucasians. People who've got a, you know, distinct colour on their face, they can mistake really easily. And then you've got false narratives where people are stopped.
But they can do things like watching the patterns of behaviour of people.
That's true.
Like some guy lurks at one pillar, then moves to another pillar.
Exactly.
He will be flagged as someone who is a potential threat.
And then a human intervention can take place if that's done properly. So it will eliminate some of the, you know, need for repetition from that point of view. AI does it rather well, or what I call repetitive analysis will work in that regard.
Now, the other area is the environmental benefit of using AI. How?
Well, for example, I mentioned that aircraft can fly now in free flight. They will get the optimization of flight trajectories, and that will eliminate some of the carbon emissions during flight operations. When you combine that, of course, with the use of, you know, renewable fuels, I think we've got a huge advantage to be held. And you can do the same thing with aviation as noise. Noise is still a problem, as you well know, certainly up in Dublin Airport and places around it. So you will have then tracks which will take the centres of, population. The aircraft will fly away from those.
Yeah. But you can program it, presumably, to do certain things. You can say, I want for this flight to maximize my fuel efficiency,
yes,
or for that flight to minimize the noise.
Exactly.
A bit like, you know, on your sat-nav, do you want to go the motorways or
that's
do you want
exactly
to take the back
road? And more than that, the more it does it, if it does it 1,000 times, by the time you get to your flight like that, it'll have it worked out really, really well and it will work. So EASA is going to certainly establish that, and it's promoting it in this regard, and I think it'll happen.
Now, laugh at this one, aviation cybersecurity.
Yeah,
after
yeah.
what happened on Friday.
Yeah, in fact, you know, it's wide open to a large extent, particularly, I mean, think about it. You book in online. People try to do that on Friday. They couldn't do it. They had to bring their bags then. Your bag drop. And the machine says, I don't recognize this Q code or whatever it might be. So you're stuck there. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you've checked in or not because I can't check the flight manifest for that. And we've no flight plan because the machine didn't recognize it. So it backs up rather badly, quite apart from security, you know, which might
turn out Ryanair handled it rather well in Dublin.
They did. And I noticed on the television programme, there were four UK airports which I've been very familiar with like that, but some of them did it by hand. So instead of taking 45 seconds, the dwell time then takes 4.5 minutes. And, you know, you've got a huge backup and you lose the flight in some cases. So people did not get on their holidays.
Baggage handling, the lost luggage, the delayed luggage, the luggage containing stuff it shouldn't contain.
Indeed. Before COVID, say 2019, the American Airlines spent $1 billion, which I hadn't realised. That's $1,000 million reconciling lost baggage. So it's despite all the efforts they put in to make it right, it didn't work terribly well from that point of view. But if you had AI-driven optimizations, you could reduce this mishandling by up to 35%. So that's very good news. It also predicts, for example, bottlenecks, and you can have routing paths. Like, for example, people carry lots of baggage on long-haul flights. So you've got three of those in a particular time. You'll then put more staff in. Mm. The one thing that happens with baggage, and people seem to forget this, it's human. Human people physically lodge the bags onto the heavy aircraft, onto the small aircraft. So the more you carry, the more time, the more people you have
and
to
often
do.
And often you look out the window of an aircraft and you see a bag has fallen off one of
that's
the trolleys.
That's right, I've seen it.
And you pity the poor person whose bag it is.
I've seen this in Dublin Airport. I said, that fell off the thing and it's sitting there for 15 minutes, so it's not going to make the flight as designed.
Mm. Finally, airport turnarounds.
Yeah, my own special subject. I love turnarounds and doing it. You know, I mean, in fairness to Michael O'Leary, who gets a bad press sometimes, he is the one who pushed the low-cost carriers to turn around 737s in 25 minutes. Boeing sent people over to Dublin and said, this can't be done with the older aircraft, which carried much less people 30 years ago. I studied it in Heathrow and other airports. But now, for example, Eindhoven, they're using a thing called deep turnaround. It's just testing it out before they move it on to Schiphol, I think. Cameras on the apron, they detect the start and end times of the ground handling process. And that means they can predict the end time of the turnaround and they can have advanced visibility when the aircraft is ready to push. So they can optimise their parking of the aircraft and the equipment needed to shove it out to go. So the actual camera images aren't looked at by humans, they're looked at by the computer. And it says the activity is recorded and it gives you a little a nudge to say things are going now. And the more you do it, the less delays you have again. And they'll do that repeatedly at the hen stands in Eindhoven. And I reckon they're going to move it to Schiphol and then to other airports in different parts of Europe.
Fascinating stuff. AI is with us and we won't see it a lot of the time. It'll just make things a bit better.
Indeed.
Retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel, airport safety expert and auditor Kevin Byrne, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.